Blog Talk Radio.
Something about her, you know. Just the way that she carries herself, she's just so bad. I don't know.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Relationship Party. It is your girl, Charmaine. I know long time, no hear from, but I'm back with just a special show. Just for today. And I know some of you are saying, you got to be kidding me. We thought you were coming back. I am coming back, I promise. But we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Guys, today we're just going to have an awesome show. But before we really get into the show, I want us to talk about what did y'all hear about a bomb being dropped today? What is really going on? I mean, if y'all out there, y'all know how the callers I need you to do, I need you to press 1 when you're ready to talk so we can get you on the air with me. And then we need to talk, what is Agent Orange /45/Donald Trump doing? Let me see. I just need to know. So, Chris Nas, are you there? Okay, I'm gonna have my newsman. This is where I get all my news from. I get my Facebook news, my Concrete Jungle news from Chris Nas. So he'll be with us in just a minute. He keeps me updated on Facebook on what's going on. So, Chris, make sure that you press 1 when you come into the studio so that we can know that you are there. I got to tell y'all, I'm not sure what's going on, but when we dropped the last bomb, I'm not a Donald Trump fan, but I got to say, now you can't just do chemical warfare and then not be any consequences. So I'm not going to lie to y'all, I was kind of cool that Trump, you know, trumped up to that one, okay? Let me see, Chris or Kiki, are y'all there?
Miss Kitty is, I am, hey. You know I'm right here.
Hey, Miss Kitty. So, Miss Kitty,
hey.
How do you feel about, now I'm driving in my car, and I hear that they just dropped another bomb called the mother of all bombs. Now, it's not a nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm. But
so,
it's almost next to one. They only have a limited amount of those that they've never used before. Keep that in mind.
Never used before.
Today was the very first day they've ever used it. So now, according to what they say on the news, they had 14. Now they have 13.
Wow. So I know it was done not too long ago. They launched it. Not too long ago, so of course we're all trying to, you know, see what is going to be the after effects. Like what's going on, how many people were hurt, you know, that kind of thing, where they dropped it at. So guys, make sure you keep, you know, your TV, you know, switch back and forth the channels to CNN and that kind of thing so we can see what's going on. So, Ms. Kitty, have you heard anything else since, you know, that they sent it over, any more reports other than that?
Well, the one thing is they dropped it in Afghanistan. And they dropped it supposedly in a remote area of Afghanistan where basically nobody is supposed to be. And the purpose of the bomb, quote unquote, really is to, destroy the tunnels and stuff under the ground. They're fighting ISIS, so they dropped this bomb to do all this destruction to all of these tunnels and these ISIS stronghold areas in Afghanistan. Okay, so we're talking about Agent Orange, and I am a huge conspiracy theorist, but this what I'm telling you is what I hear on TV. But because we're talking about Agent Orange, I personally believe that was, you know, just some form of a practice run of whatever horrible thing he is going to do with the rest of those bombs. I think because for you to just want to use one that has never, like any other president, had the same opportunity to use this one bomb. Well, and nobody has never done this Because this is like, for real, like the this is a step under nuclear. So, you know, this is a really serious bomb that he just dropped. And the reason he's saying he dropped it was, you know, ISIS, blah, blah, blah. No, he dropped it in this remote area of Afghanistan because you wanted to see what the effects of it was going to really be. You wanted to see what? When this bomb hit the ground, what type of damage could it really cause? That's personally what I believe.
Okay, well, the whole title on that thought, we have Mr. Nas on the line. Hey, Mr. Nas.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, good. Charmaine. Now, you know, I followed you on Facebook just because you keep me updated on everything that's going on. So give us your take on, you know, what do you think about this bomb that just dropped today?
Well, as a breaking news flash, he just sent a fleet of attack naval craft out to North Korea and issued a first strike warning. So if North Korea pulls a nuclear test today or tomorrow or this week, the United States of America will issue a first strike on the sovereign nation of North Korea, meaning they will shoot first and blow North Korea off the map first. That's happening right now. But we can get back to this bomb.
That's why I love you. You just updated me on something because I don't keep my TV on. Now, how many people can we fight at one time? But that's a whole other story. This is getting ridiculous.
Right.
Okay,
right,
but Chris,
right.
Go ahead and tell us about what you think about the bomb that dropped earlier.
Well, this bomb is a MOAB. You know, they call it the mother of all bombs, but it's really a bomb that never touches the ground. It's a bomb designed to kill personnel, to flatten buildings, to flatten trees, to basically turn any area into a flat parking lot. Whatever's down on the ground will be killed by a tremendous concussion blast equivalent to 22,000 pounds of TNT. So for perspective, Hiroshima, the nuclear bomb in Hiroshima was 15 kilotons. This bomb is 11 kilotons, and it's not even nuclear. So it's not designed to take out tunnels and all this stuff that they're saying on the news. That's not what it's made for. It can't do that. It doesn't penetrate the ground. It never touches the ground. But what it does is it creates a 2 mile wide in any direction or a mile wide in radius. It creates a concussive force of 22,000 pounds pushed downward into the earth. So it basically obliterates anything for 2 miles in any direction. That includes dogs, chickens, beans, greens, ham, yam. That's what this bomb is for. Nothing to do with tunnels whatsoever. That's malarkey.
So I have a question. So do you think they dropped that today, like they're saying, because of ISIS or whatever, or do you really think they tested that out today for the sake of their getting ready to go after North Korea?
Well, this so-called ISIS thing, there's a lot of
bullshit
surrounding
that.
It. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So me, what I know about ISIS in Afghanistan ain't enough to fill up a balloon. It ain't even worth talking about, really.
Mm-hmm.
What this bomb is about is theater. This bomb is pure and simple theater. There's no tunnels. There's no ISIS in no tunnel. There ain't enough people to use tunnels. They don't need tunnels for what? If they're in the middle of nowhere, what do they need tunnels for? They can walk around in plain sight. So this is theater. So three sovereign nations have been attacked in less than 100 days of his presidency. This is, letting, you know, the neocons have their say with this preemptive strike. This is neocon policy to strike first. And this is a buffoon at the wheel. You know what I mean? Being pulled in all directions. Yeah.
And has no idea what's going on. But, y'all, let me say this. This show was not about that, but because we are in America, this is some very important news that we had to talk about at least a little bit. But we're going to definitely, you know, get back to this. Nas, thank you so much, and Ms. Kitty, for keeping us up to breath, because our communities need to hear the news the way we understand it and be able to keep it real with no politics involved. You know, so Nas, we're definitely going to talk because we definitely need to have your new show on, because I'm serious. I do follow you. I listen to what you say. You keep me posted and you keep me educated in a way that I can understand the shenanigans of the politicians, because I don't. Yeah, that's not really my thing. But you keep me educated on that. So I appreciate that. Miss Kitty and
yes.
Mr. Nas, thank you so much. And I will definitely have you guys back on the show.
All right.
Love to. I want to be on the show with him.
Okay. Yes. 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 We're gonna work it out. We're gonna work it out. Guys,
right.
We're gonna take off for a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're coming back with the author of the book, The Nichols Brothers, Suburbia to Destruction. I don't know how many of you, and I know you can't forget, in March of 2005, we had some trouble in Atlanta. A gentleman killed 3 people inside of a Fulton County courtroom and escaped. His brother, also the author of the book, is going to be telling us about his life and get us inside the story. Did he snap? Was he always a killer? What made him just decide to do this, you know, this horrible incident? And did he really know Ashley, the lady that he kept hostage? Or was she saying she was a victim, or was she really a part of it? Did she know him or did she not? We're going to come back in just a little bit with Mr. Mark Nichols. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Would you like to know the true value of your home? Are you going through a divorce or probate and deciding what to do with your home? If the answer is yes, call Sunidria Potter, a certified appraiser with 14 years of experience. 678-508-0863. That's 678-508-0863. Or visit realappraising.com. Realappraising.com. Real appraisals, real fast.
Hi, ladies and gents. This is Cairo Queen from Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with co-host Juarez Jackson. We're on every single Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, if you want to tune in to us, you want to call us, you want to be a sponsor, reach out to me. You can email me at cairoqueen@gmail.com. That's cairoqueen@gmail.com. Yes, I know. Okay, well, maybe, you know, you may not want to just be on air. You may want to be a sponsor, and you may want to have your own segment in the show. That's a possibility. All you got to do is become a sponsor, and you can join a part of our show. You can even have a commercial done for you. Now, all you have to do to make that happen is contact me directly at 707-500-0198. That number again is 707-500-0198. And it's Cairo Queen, Cairo like Egypt, Queen like Elizabeth. Contact me. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and see you on Tuesday. Bye now.
About her, you know, just the way that she carries herself, she's just so bad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Relationship Party. It's been a long time, and boy, have I missed you guys. Today, guys, we have a very touching show, you know, a subject that we just needed to bring back to the forefront. Tonight, I have a great guest on the line with me, Mr. Mark Nichols. And for those of you, we just want to recap, who live in Atlanta, but all around the world, remember the account in March of 2005, when inside of a courtroom, a gentleman was always able to overpower a guard, take his gun, and kill 3 people, and escape from the Fulton County courtroom. I have his brother and the author of the newly released book, The Nichols Brothers, Suburbia to Destruction. He is in the building. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie? I'm glad to be back.
Oh, yes, Stephanie. Yes, great. First, I want to thank you for being, you know, for taking the time to write such a book, to talk about what, not only what happened, but the background of your brother, Brian Nichols. I think,
yes.
You know, so I want to commend you for that. I want to commend you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the support.
Not a problem. Not a problem. So, Mark, tell me this. I want to go back to that day for just a minute.
Okay.
You know, I kind of recounted, you know, recap what occurred. But originally, before we get to the behind the scenes and, you know, his childhood and that kind of thing, what was Brian originally on trial for?
Well, he had been dating his girlfriend for at least 9 years, and he was on trial for allegedly raping her.
Okay.
But, you know, that trial never – two trials. The first trial ended in a hung jury, a mistrial. And as a matter of fact, the second trial was on his way to be hung, but Brian – he snapped before then, so, you know, it never – those trials just totally went away. You know, he was never tried on those charges again after, you know, what he did on March 11th. So the case just vanished.
Right. So let me ask you this, and because I want people to get the mentality of where he was. Now, even with him being on trial for the allegedly rape, okay,
right,
of a girlfriend,
mm-hmm,
that he was with for 9 years, what kind of time was he facing at that point?
Well, he was still facing – he was facing about 20 years, 20 to life, just off the rape accusations. But, you know, he also got caught with a bunch of guns. And I talk about the story about the guns that he got caught with in his trunk. That's in my book, so I'm going to leave that to the readers to – get that information. I don't want to give out too many of the secrets, you know, and leave something to him. But, yeah, he was, it was just a crazy situation, Stephanie. It was really crazy.
Okay, so that's what I was trying to get to, because a lot of us was like, okay, not that rape isn't, you know, a big crime, but we were like, okay, well, how much time was he facing to make him feel like, you know what I mean? I'm not going back. So a lot of people,
right,
didn't know about the guns and things like that. That's why y'all need to pick up the book to get the entire story, not snippets of what you see on the news for 30 seconds or so. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was facing about 20 years at that point.
At least 20 to life. I believe that was the time he was facing for those charges.
Okay. So we're going to fast forward because we know what happened in the courtroom. We know, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Him escaping had Atlanta on pins and needles. I mean, like, it was on the news consistently. You know, just wondering where, you know, he was, you know, wondering where he went. One of the other things looking at this at, you know, 12 years later is – a lot of us were trying to, once the kind of story came out that he held Miss Ashley hostage, a lot of us was like, was she really a hostage or did he know her? Is she just saying that so she doesn't get in trouble? And Miss Robinson, Ashley Robinson. So tell me, what came of that from as far as you know? Did he actually know Ashley Robinson?
No, he didn't. She was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. She was stepping out. I think it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She was stepping out to get a pack of cigarettes. And Brian was sitting out in the parking lot. He had killed the customs agent at the house that he was building. He had killed the customs agent and taken his truck. So he drove to that apartment complex, and he was just sitting there, I guess, trying to figure out what his next move was, and she just so happened to come out the door, and that's how the drama started with her. So, no,
wow.
He never knew her, you know, nothing. You know, it was just a random coincidence, a random act of violence against her.
Well, so y'all have it clear here right now that she was not a part of it, wrong place, long time, and I can't even imagine. you know, that's something out of TV, really.
Did you see the movie?
I did.
You know,
not.
It's a movie that yeah, you know, it's a movie that he came out with. It's called Captive. It came out in 2015, and actually, me and my mother and father, we were in New York to see the premiere of it. And
okay.
with me watching the movie, you know, I had went hard on Ashley in my book because I couldn't understand why Ashley, if you're a hostage, and why would you get in your car and he gets in the truck of the customs agent, why would you follow him and drop off the truck somewhere and let him get back in the car and you're a hostage again? And I kind of went kind of hard on her about that, but after seeing the movie, I understood what happened, why she continued to be a hostage. So I had to change a few things about Ashley. And I actually met Ashley at the premiere of her movie. She's a really nice person, and I got to commend the Paramount Pictures and David Awoyello and Kate Marie. They really did a good job on portraying Brian, not as a monster. They really gave him a inside. So I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about that movie, but it was okay. It was okay. They gave my brother, you know, a better look.
And, you know, just so people can get, you know, because some people are audio, some people are visual, just so people who have not seen the movie, such as myself, because now you're making me interested in going to see the movie. What was it called again? Captive?
It's called Captive, yes. Yes, it's just that's Ashley Smith's 7 hours that she spent with Brian. It's, you know, we had nothing to do with that. You know, it was just her time with him, so she could do that movie. We didn't have to grant her rights to do that because that's what happened to her.
Right, right. So let me ask you this, Jess, and I hate to tell the movie, but what made you said there was something once you seen the movie. You better understand, because some of us did not understand. That's why we were like, you can't say you don't know him. But what occurred in the movie that made you say, okay, now I get it?
Okay, so what I saw in the movie was, like I said, I always wondered why she got let Brian get back in the car and follow him. And you know, why did she follow him to wherever they dropped off the car, and why did she wait for him to get back in the car? And early in the movie, Brian had picked up a letter, and the letter was a letter, I think, to her daughter, because her aunt was keeping her daughter at that time, and the address was on it. So actually, she thought that if she escaped Brian, that he would go to he had kept the letter, and that he would go to wherever her daughter was and kill her. And I never knew that until I watched the movie. So after I found that out, I had to rewrite some things because I was, you know, like, actually kind of dumb, you know. And,
right.
But
it off the other way.
Right, you know.
Right.
Like, why would you do that? So, yeah, after I watched that, I was like, okay, I understand now. And I went back and I rewrote that part. But it was just, she was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you know, any other questions? I know there are more questions that people definitely have about that their time together. I'm not going to give it up right now. You're going to have to read about that. Because it's
exactly
one big question everybody wants to know. Did they sleep together?
That's a good question. So you got to get the book. Now, Brian,
you
got to
get the book.
I'm calling you Brian. But yes, tell everybody where to pick the book up again.
Okay, you can go to – right now the book is only available on in ebook form. It's at Amazon.com. If you type in my name, Mark Nichols, you will see me. The book pop up. It's the first one on that list, and it's $15.99 at Amazon.com. It's a terrific read. You'll love it.
Oh, I mean, I just feel like I'm on such an adventure just us talking about it, you know, from place to place, because it's amazing even how, you know, you go from Fulton County, for those of us who are here, to Gwinnett. I mean, it just seems so movie-ish. Now, let me ask you this, and talking about just this part right here, and I know at some point you had to talk to your brother, and man, what was you thinking?
You know
what I mean?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked that. Brian, I had to get him on board with this project. He wasn't really on board with me writing the book at first, but then when he saw how I was doing it and I was telling him, I was sending him little things in the mail until I was writing it, he got on point with it. So actually, at the end of the book, it's a chapter called What Was He Thinking? And that's what Brian relayed to us to put into the book. So once you get to the end of the book, you can get exactly what was on Brian's mind. Oh, and I want to say, too, that the hard copies are being printed right now, and I have them at my book signing at Topper's Pizza Lounge. It's in the West End in Atlanta. I'm having a book signing May 5th from 4 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
Yes, and I will have my hard copies on deck then.
Awesome. So, you know, I will be there getting my signed copy.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
This is amazing. Yes, this is amazing. We'll make sure that we get out there and help you promote it. So, yes.
Yes, I really appreciate it. My book looks good. I mean, my printer did such a good job, and the guy who designed the cover, Bill Kirkpatrick, they did an amazing job. My book really looks good, and I'm sure people will enjoy it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you know what? We're going to go for a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, this represents so the mindset of so many people. We see people doing things that we don't understand on the news, and it's always just a flash or a snippet. So when we come back, we want to talk a little bit about your childhood, because you all grew up, you know, great mom, great dad, and just how do things sometimes go wrong. So, and we want to get your, you know, your opinion on that. But we're going to go for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Are you tired of renting and throwing your money into an endless pit? Well, stop and let your favorite realtors guide you to home ownership. Our team will educate you and walk with you every step of the way. Your favorite realtors. Let us take the stress out of the home buying process and find you the perfect home. Call your favorite realtor at 404-246-3841 or visit them at www.yourfavoriterealtor.info. Are you planning a holiday event or wedding? Are you tired of planning alone? Well, let K-Unique Events help. With over 10 years of experience, K-Unique can get the job done. Give K-Unique a call at 978-609-8977 or visit them at kunique-events.com. That's kunique-events.com. K-Unique, where your event will be made just for you. No two are the same.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Relationship Party. We are in the building with Mr. Mark Nichols, the author of The Nichols Brothers, Suburbia to Destruction, also the brother of Brian Nichols. Today we're recapping, you know, the event that happened in March 11, 2005, where Brian Nichols was in the courtroom, killed three people, and escaped from the Fulton County Jail. And today what we're doing is his brother has written a great book. I want you guys to pick it up at Amazon. You can get the e-book, and the hard copy is coming out soon. And for those of you who are in Atlanta, we're going to share the information and where you can come to the book release and actually get a chance to meet his brother. But right now, Mark, what I wanted to talk about, because I know you called, the title of your book is called The Nichols Brothers. And so in the book, you talk about, you know, just kind of how y'all grew up. So without telling us the story, just give us a snippet of, because sometimes you think, how do a person just become a killer? And I think we're all one little false move away. Some of us a little further than others, but whether it's road rage or somebody kicking in your door, you know, a lot of us never think that we would kill somebody. But, you know, there's something that happens sometimes that push people to a point of that. So tell us a little bit about your childhood, you know, your upbringing.
I really think we probably had a little bit too much time on our hands. I mean, you know, we were middle class America, and my mother, her job took her traveling all over the world. So our father had to really. He brought us up. But we had so much free time in between adult supervision that we just used to get into whatever. And the crazy part about it is that my basement, you know, I'm a DJ, so I had the turntables down there. You know, we got the music, rap music that was just hitting real good. And we just hanging out. My mom thought she was a Kool-Aid mom, but we down there drinking beer and smoking weed. But everybody else, you know, the parents thought we were these all-American kids. We out playing basketball and baseball and football and all this kind of stuff. But nah, we were off the chain. You know, we never had anybody in our whole crew to say, man, nah, this isn't a good idea. Don't do this. No matter what the crazy idea we came up with, we did it. And we did this stuff. I don't even know why, because, you know, we had all the keys to be successful, to do whatever we wanted. You know, me and Brian both, Brian went to a military elementary school. He used to have to wear a military uniform. He looked real good in it. I never told him that. But he went to, you know, he looked like a little, it's a chapter in my, it's a picture of him in that uniform. And he really looked good in it. And it's just that we had all the keys, but we didn't take advantage of them. It's like we wanted to be gangsters because the guys across Chilton Street, we grew up on, if anybody's from Baltimore listening, you know, 33rd, the Memorial Stadium old area. Once you cross this one street, you are directly in the hood. But on the other side of this street, it's this middle-class neighborhood. And I honestly think we were betraying that we had to be tough because we had to fight with those guys because they didn't like us because we thought we were better than them, but we weren't. So it was kind of rough growing up around there because we had to watch our backs constantly. I mean, I've been in shootouts on a middle-class street. You know, I talk about it in the book. You know, it was just a crazy upbringing, and we had no reason to be doing half the things we did just because we did it just because.
Well, you know what? And hold that thought for a minute, because even though, you know, some stories are universal, and I think this part of what we're talking about is universal, but I want to, hey, guys, I see you guys are on the line. When you have a question or you want to make a comment, definitely press 1 so we can get you on the air. I love what you're saying right now because, you know, of course, I'm originally from Baltimore, and you just touched on something that I think is universal, where some males especially, they have this sense of they need to be tough, and if you are a little privileged, instead of feeling okay about it, you feel even more so that you have to prove a point, that just because I wear fresh stuff and I don't live rough. I'm tough, though. You know, try
me. Exactly.
And so you kind of walk around. And I tell you, I'm listening to this story, and a whole generation later, I'm thinking about my sons.
Right.
Feeling the same way. I overheard a conversation. And we lived in Atlanta. You know, coming from Baltimore, coming to Atlanta, I hear them talk about, yeah, you know, we'll be lucky if we live past 18. I'm like, you live on this street. What you talk about?
Right.
You don't even live in Baltimore. However, we have to be very realistic whether we think we're taking our young black males from something. For some reason, they still feel threatened.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's the hatred that runs in the black community is serious, you know. It wasn't, why are y'all hating on us and treating us like this? This isn't our money. You know, this is our parents' money. You know, we weren't running around throwing things in their face. You know, oh, we got this, you ain't got that. It was none of that. But they just, for some reason, didn't like us. And we weren't a gang, but we were a gang. You know what I mean?
Right, so we
had to watch each other's back. I mean, for dumbness, for nothing.
So let me ask you this, you know. Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and one thing, and what was messed up about it is that me and Brian both went to Cardinal Gibbons. I went to Cardinal Gibbons, I stayed there for 2 years. Brian went to Cardinal Gibbons and stayed there for 2 years. I left and went to Lake Clifton. He left and went to Northern High School. But the thing about it is I left and went to Lake Clifton, which means I had to go to school with these same people that couldn't stand me. So luckily, I was one of the best DJs around there, so I kind of skated through. They ain't really mess with me too much, but they kind of did mess with me. You know what I mean? So I was, it was like I was on the line. Like one day we might be cool a little bit, but we could be fighting it at any time.
Right.
So you
right,
know,
right.
It was kind of rough, and our parents never knew that we were going through this because we never said anything.
Right, because it's kind of like, how do you say something? So I want y'all listeners to pay attention for just a second. Outside of the Brian Nichols story, this is the story that could be of any kid. And sometimes, you know, we look at a kid that does something and we're like, oh, that don't make no sense, but we don't know the background or the pressures.
Right.
'Cause some things just don't happen overnight. Now, let me ask you this, because now that I know that he was facing 20 years, at first I didn't realize 20 to life, actually.
Right.
Because I was wondering why you just didn't let the trial finish out. Do you think, without telling the story, because y'all need to pick up the book on Amazon, The Nichols Brothers, Suburbia to Destruction, to find out what, listen to Brian's account of what made him just say, pretty much, fuck it.
Pretty much, I have exactly what sent him over the edge in the book, but I will not tell you.
Right,
you know,
it was
it's in the book. You know, it's not even what people would think, you know, but
okay.
Once you read it, you will see, you know. It's a whole different, I don't even think this came out in the media. I really don't even think this came out in the media. But one thing that I do want to touch on, you familiar with Will Smith's movie Concussion?
Yes.
We really think, back when Brian's trial was going on, Brian was a beast at playing football. He used his body like a weapon. He was built like steel. And
okay.
We really believe, and he believes, that he suffers from CTE. You
okay.
know, because Brian actually thought, when I asked him, when I went to see him, I'm like, yo, what's going on? Why? What the fuck? But what are you doing? Why did you do this? He was like, man, you know, I felt like I was fighting a one-man war. I said, man, yeah, you done definitely lost it. Why would you think you have to fight a one-man war against these people? You can't. You know you can't win this. And you're too smart. You know, Brian is smart as hell. And why would you even go to this form of thinking? But then he started studying on the CTE. I watched Concussion, and I listened and watched this, some of how they enacted some of the people that, how they carried it with some of the people who had the disease. And I said, okay, yeah, this is really possible that Brian has CTE. But, you know, when a black person does something, he's an animal.
He's a
monster.
Right.
But when the dude shot up the church in Savannah, they took him to Burger King.
Right.
And then
right.
took him
right.
to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's I really believe that there's something that the concussions, just playing football, I really believe that has something to do with how he reacted and was thinking. That wasn't even brought up at the trial. They weren't even trying to hear that he was mentally insane or something was going on with him. It's just, he's a monster, he's a killer, let's put him away.
Right, right. And, you know, unfortunately, like you said, especially, I mean, people are starting to come around to it. They're still more selective on where
right.
they use it. But mental illness, and from even what I've heard of people who, you know, don't hurt anybody but do have mental illness, like bipolar, one minute there's a person that I know of whose mom became schizophrenic. She wasn't always that way.
Right.
Something happened, an incident happened, and one day it switched, a switch in her brain that then made her walk up and down the street with her dress on backwards. It wasn't a tragic incident, but it was something mentally so overwhelming for her. So this is what we're saying about when it comes to mental illness, what you think you want and what you will and won't do, you don't know when you're pushed to an edge. And I got to say this, Mark, and everybody that, you know, that's listening. you don't know, some of y'all do because you've been in jail, but I gotta tell you, I don't know if it's locked in some walls and some bars. Y'all might be getting something out of me. I don't know what that would be.
Right.
But I really can't fathom being able to stay sane. And I know people, quote unquote, stay sane to a certain point being in there. But can you imagine? I can't even imagine that.
You know, when he calls the house, I cannot understand how he sounds so calm. You know, it's like he's still at his apartment. You know, if it was me, I'm in a straitjacket. I mean, I'm probably going to be living real rough because I'm throwing piss and shit, whatever. I'm doing everything. You know, y'all want to treat me like an animal? Okay, this is what you're going to get. But when he calls, it's like, you know, hey, what's happening, man? How's everything going? I'm like, wow. And you got 7 life sentences, 4 life without parole, and 486 years, and you can still sound like that. I couldn't do it.
Right. Well, Mark, hold on for just a moment. We have a caller. Caller, you're in the air. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, Mark, how's it going, man? It's Rodney Graham. How you doing?
Hey, Rodney Graham. Happy birthday, brother. You know, it's good hear from you again, bro. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, all is great, man. I'm sitting here listening, you know, listening to this whole thing unfold, man, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. And,
right.
You know, there were a lot of things that I always had thoughts about, so I'm definitely picking up the book, and I'm going to be there, you know, with your book signing. But
thank you very much for your support, bro.
Oh, yeah. You know, Baltimore guys got to stick together. And
yes,
just
indeed.
One thing real quick. Back in the day, I was the baddest DJ, but I'm leave that alone. That's another show.
Hey, you know, I was one of the nicest ones in Baltimore at that time.
Yeah. We like that. We gonna have another show on that. I'm gonna leave that one alone. But
okay.
But question for you was this, man, and I always wondered, like the day to day court grind. I actually used to work for Tires Plus, and the store that I ran was on that same street. And,
okay.
You know, it was kind of weird how cars, how the traffic kind of went to nothing. And then all of a sudden you see a plane car go by, this. And I told my guy, I said, I wonder if Brian Nichols is up here. And a little while after
right.
that, they caught him. But the thing I
okay.
wanted to ask you was this, and I don't know if you talked to him about it, but did he have was he thinking about giving up? Was he thinking about – because you know, there was no kind of resisting or anything like that when they caught him. It was just like a peaceful surrender. Was he thinking about, well, let me just go ahead and face my punishment? Or did he have a thought about going out in a blaze of glory? Or, you know, what was his mindset at that point?
Well, you know, I was in Florida. You know, that whole day, my whole day, that was – every minute seemed like it was about – 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking the police are going to kill my brother. Today is the day that my brother dies. But from, you know, when I go see Brian, first, we really don't talk about much concerning the case because, you know, they're recording everything. And
right.
they will use stuff against them they can't do it far as legally. But, you know, they're doing crazy kind of – he's the only one that's sentenced to Jackson State. Jackson State in Georgia is a diagnostic prison, and it's also a segregation prison. But he's the only one that's sentenced to stay there. So he has certain things that they don't have, but they always trying to mix it up and make him like the rest of them. But as far as the surrender, from watching the movie, if it's portrayed right, I think he was just tired, man. You know, you are on this. I mean, can you just imagine the adrenaline rush? You done killed 3 people, 4 people, and now you got the whole world looking for you. You're looking at all this on TV. You're really not sleeping, man. I just think he just said, man, you know what? I'm going to just give up. And I'm glad he didn't go out shoot. I thought he was going to go out shooting. I really did. I said, okay. I said, these guns is going to come out the window, and he's just going to go out shooting, and that's going to be it. But, yeah, I just really feel like he was tired. You know what? I'm going to get more into that because hopefully one day I'll get a movie deal off of this. So, you know, it'll have some more things to add to the story that I didn't put in the
book. Right.
You know, so I'm going to definitely try to get more in detail into what he was thinking about surrendering. I'm glad you brought that up because I never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was just tired, man. You know, that's
yeah.
Man, you just – and then supposedly he did some meth. He did – you know, I don't know if he smoked it or sniffed it, but Ashley Smith was supposed to be in recovery but had meth. Where they do that at, I don't know. But, you know.
Recovery is
yeah, well, you got a little stash of meth, but you in recovery. Come on, man.
Right.
But, you know,
okay.
Supposedly – but, you know, I just really think he was tired, Rodney. You know, just
right.
ready to throw in the towel and lay down.
And you know what? And listening to that part of it, like, this is so bigger than just what happened. Effects of how it occurred, the things that happened in his life. Because I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of kids walking around here now popping mollies and whatever these other little drugs are. That don't
they
understand.
They got whole songs.
Yes.
Whole songs.
But they don't understand
nothing
the
about
medical
drugs.
Effects. Right.
Right.
But this is the thing. They don't understand the medical, natural effects of these drugs
right.
outside of you just getting high, then how it starts to mess with your brain. Add it with fatigue, as I'm listening to what you're saying about Brian.
Yes.
You can't be tired, withdrawn, and doing all of these things at one time and not expect to be kind of dumb, or not dumb, I mean make bad decisions, let's say that.
Right, gotcha.
Feel like you don't care. We definitely have to address mental illness in our community.
Yes.
And the effect of some of the drugs and what they do, because I want to throw this in, and I know this is a little bit off topic, y'all, but listen to this, because maybe somebody need to hear this, and it kind of ties into what we're saying about just any kind of drugs. A lot of these weight loss medicines, especially a lot the ones that they're taking in Baltimore, Maryland,
right?
People do not read the effects. One
right.
of the
side effects
is suicide.
Wow.
We lost a family member who was one of the strongest people I know who killed herself.
Wow.
Due to, listening to what you're just saying, and Rodney, we can go back to attest to this, fatigue and taking that damn medicine and drinking Red Bull.
Wow.
So I need y'all to understand, sometimes you got to read what some of these medications are, not because they street drugs. They can be prescription drugs. You got to read what they do so at least you can hang on for a minute and just understand, well, that ain't really me thinking that. That's this drug messing with me because I'm coming down or, you know, whatever it is to make you make these bad decisions, whether it's killing yourself or killing somebody else.
Yeah, and I definitely know what you mean because I done came down off a lot of drugs and done some crazy stuff while I was on them. Like, man, why the hell did I do this? So I definitely
and
understand.
Luckily enough,
what you're
you was you, and luckily enough, you were able to not do something so dumb that it got you caught up on something you couldn't get out of.
Yeah, couldn't bounce back from. Yeah, you're right.
Wow,
you're so
guys, you know what? I want y'all to sit back and marinate on that. We're going to go for a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You've seen it on television.
I really have a passion for the image of women of color on TV.
On stage.
When you are doing Broadway, you are so talented because you can usually act, sing, dance, and write.
And in the movies.
When you're making movies, you are Hollywood royalty.
Now be prepared to be entertained as Shirley Ralph brings her special brand of entertainment to radio.
Hi there, this is Shirley Ralph, and welcome to another 60 Minutes with me, your diva, divinely inspired, victoriously alive, radio, real talk on Diva Talk Radio.
Diva Talk Radio. Talk Radio. That's real.
Would you like to know the true value of your home? Are you going through a divorce or probate and deciding what to do with your home? If the answer is yes, call Sunidria Potter, a certified appraiser with 14 years of experience. 678-508-0863. That's 678-508-0863. Or visit realappraising.com. Realappraising.com. Real appraisals, real fast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the relationship party. This is your girl Charmaine. I am in the studio with the author Mark Nichols, who has his new release coming out called The Nichols Brothers: Suburbia to Destruction. Guys, this is a great book that you need to pick up. Not only does it recount from behind the scenes the encounter, the incident involving Brian Nichols, it tells the behind the story, things that you wanted the answers to, but just never got them. This is the book to pick up that is written by his brother, so you know he knows. Mark, let me ask you this in closing, because I know there are some things that you have in the book that you can answer some of those questions for the readers that they probably thought when this thing was going on, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Tell me what questions, but not giving the answers, but what would those questions be?
First of all, one of the questions is about the original rape trial. A lot of people want to know if the young lady is black or white.
Okay.
And that answer is in the book. They want to know if, like we talked about earlier, if him and Ashley have, steroid question. People want to know what drugs he was on. Was he like doing a whole bunch of different drugs or what? Or if he's a gangster. They really want to know what was going on before all this happening. You know, what was life like before, you know, all this happened. And, you know, Brian was doing his thing. He was like the big brother. I was the one that was like messing up in the streets, running around, getting high and getting in trouble and doing everything else. But Brian was the more stable one. You know, they just want to know, like, how did all of this just turn up? And I tell all of this in the book, you know, we weren't any angels. And I had to explain to my mother, when I was writing this book, she was concerned about Brian's image, and I had to let her know, look, we was bad as hell all the time. We just was smart bad as hell. Y'all didn't see it. So, you know, they want to know, you know, where our parents were, how did we do all the things that we were doing, and, you know, I answer everything. All the rumors that are out there, any questions that you might have, believe me, it's being answered in this book.
All right. And, guys, I want you to, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, definitely press 1. We will get you on the air. And Rodney, I know you have another question for Mark.
Mark, you know, one other question I had was this. You know, after, you know, the aftermath, everything goes down and, you know, Brian is sentenced and, you know, everything is done. How has it been, you know, what effect and toll has this taken on your family, you know, as a whole, since, you know, 12 years later? What have you guys gone through? What kind of toll has it taken on your parents, you know, yourself, you know, just your family in general?
Well, you know, I went into seclusion for a long time after the trial. You know, a few years, I just didn't want to deal with people. My mother, you know, she's one of the strongest black women that I know, and she was stricken with breast cancer. And I know that had to have something to do with just the stress of her worrying about if her son was going to die. She still, to this day, she thinks her son is going to be released from prison one day. And she said it might not be in her lifetime, but she thinks Brian will get out, you know. But it's been stressful. But, you know, Americans forget quick. So my family, I really don't deal with a whole bunch of people in my family, you know, from things that I've learned from the trial and just even before that. So it's really not a bunch of questions coming from them. But with us, the immediate family, we very rarely talk about the trial or, you know, anything that has to do with it. So it's there, but it's not there, you know, because we know we can still talk to him. He can still call and, you know, talk to his kids. My mother goes to see him every Friday. Brian has been in isolation since 2005. He went outside for the first time, I think, in years, maybe 3 weeks ago. And going outside in that jail is going out to a pigeon coop. And you sit in this little pigeon coop until they let you out. So, you know, it's been rough on the family, but we don't talk about it. I think we're in a better place now that we've written a book. But it was a rough time, man. It was rough. I couldn't believe. Why am I on the Larry King show? You know, I'm never supposed to be on the Larry King show. I was never supposed to write a book. I haven't written anything since I graduated from Lake Clifton, but my name.
Right,
you know,
right.
Now I got a 254 page book that I wrote myself. So, you know, it's been like therapeutic for me because I got some things off my chest. I talk about some things that happen within our family that happens to a lot of families, but it's not brought to the forefront. I'm talking about molestation. So, you know, it's been rough, but it's been also, like I said, kind of therapeutic for me.
Right.
Well, I do want to say this. I think I love what you're doing. Everything is, I'm listening to you talk. I'm just seeing you all reach people because each person that has an experience can help somebody else, whether they're in the experience or help intervene in it. And you being able to share your story opens up the dialogue of, you know, several different things. Like you said, from molestation to, drug use, to the thing of how black males feel in danger even amongst themselves, that is huge. That's universal.
Right.
From your mother having to deal with, look how many mothers have sons in jail, and how do you deal with that? How do you stop some who keep going back and forth from going back? Like, girl, you got a chance now. When he get out there 6 months, let me tell you what you might need to do. You know what I mean? So
we
don't wind up being in there for 60 years. So there are so many people that you can touch. You and your family going through this, and I pray to God to give you all the strength to do that, to aid our community in being a better place. So big ups to you and your family.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you having me on here and let me voice some things that people might not know and, you know, just trying to shed a different light on things. You know, because Brian really, he really isn't a monster. It just, he really snapped. And you never know what's going to make you snap.
Well, we do have one last caller. Caller, what's your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, my name is Sierra. I'm calling from Marietta, Georgia.
Okay.
Hi,
how you doing, Sierra.
What's your question or your comment?
Well, I wanted to say I'm glad to hear that you're back, Charmaine. Are you back for good or?
We'll talk about that. Y'all hold tight. I had to come on for my dear friend, though. I had to come to do that, but I'm on my way back. And what's your second question?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that the book definitely sounds interesting. I'll definitely be trying to get a copy of it.
Okay. They're definitely available. It's on Amazon.com. And you type in my name, Mark Nichols, and the hard copies will be available on May 5th at Toppings Pizza Lounge. It's at 495 Whitehall Street, Southwest Atlanta, Georgia. I'll be there from 4 to 9 with the hard copies.
All right. Well, thank you, and I look forward to you coming back, Charmaine.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, Mark, make sure that you get us that information so we can, as we get a little closer, that we can help you promote that. And like you said, maybe we can get you on a couple different discussions. Just tonight has made me feel like coming back. There's so many things that we need to talk about that can be entertaining, serious, or whatever. We need these dialogues in our community. So thank you so much
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate you coming back for me. You know, I was couldn't wait. You know, 2 years ago when we did that show, I said, I can't wait to do another one with you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. That. Look, it was tough for me to oblige. I was like, what? But I'm here. And I do also want to say thank you to all the listeners, because I'm not sure if you all are aware. Y'all know I've been gone for a little bit, but I've just been on some business endeavors to come back and make the show even better. But just a few months ago, we did win for Radio Personality of the Year. The magazine Ashe nominate, somebody nominated me, and we won. So I want to thank y'all again for all the years of support. I want to thank all the guests who've ever come on the show. You guys are just great, and we are definitely coming back. But with that, y'all, don't forget, pick up the book on Amazon, The Nichols Brothers, Suburbia to Destruction. Pick up the book. We love you guys.
Yes,
and until next time, the relationship party, where it is what it is. I was waiting for Rod to say not what it's supposed to be. He's slow. He out of whack. All right, y'all. We love y'all. Till next time. Good night, America.
Something about her, you know. The way that she carries herself, she's just so bad.